Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back to another episode of the Blitz Podcast. Harley, I'm not sure if I should just say another episode of the Blitz Podcast. I think...
Well, isn't this just any old episode of the Blitz Podcast?
Well, I mean, that's if the 200th episode is just any other old episode.
200?
200.
Jeez, that's how many points my fantasy team scored last week.
I wasn't so lucky. And that's in a league where they score 400. No, I'm kidding. Harley and I do not normally discuss stuff before we start the show. But tonight, we kind of were trying to figure out when this thing started. We knew it was a long time ago. And Harley was able to pinpoint our first published date. 8/27 of 2014. 9+ years ago. I'd have never guessed it.
So that was 8 days after my 40th birthday.
Wow. You're approaching the big 50.
And now here I am nearly 50.
Goodness gracious. And you know, it's 200 episodes. We don't always just do straight week episodes during the season. We've done some preseason episodes and we've done some draft episodes, and we weren't always on the show by ourselves. We had Jake Richmond with us for the first, God, I don't even know how many episodes, unfortunately, but Jake was a big part of us getting this thing off the ground, and then he had some other things come up, so he had to bow out, but Jake was a big part of it. The show's taken on many forms, right? We went from having guests, and it taken an hour and a half for me to edit it because we thought every should come out of it. Our first guest were David Dory and John Tuvey, right?
Two fantastic fantasy football minds.
And then our first NFL famous guest was, you play to win the games, Herm Edwards, who we thought was going to talk to us for
so long ago, the great Herm Edwards. And his insight into the realm of fantasy wasn't really as big as his insight into the realm of reality football, and particularly defense, which is what we really concentrated on in our first couple seasons.
Yeah, but we also thought we were going to get, 5 to 10 minutes with him. He stayed on for like an hour with us, I think. He was a wealth of knowledge. I know he gets a lot of crap from people, but he was a great guest for us. And then we had Dre Bly, former Super Bowl winner. Dre Bly was on with us. Former Super Bowl winning head coach, Tony Dungy. He was at one of his all-pro dad events. We thought we'd get him for maybe 5 minutes. He stayed on, I think, with us for 30 or 40 minutes or so like that. When I used to do the radio show down in Tampa with Big Dog before he passed away, he never got Tony on his show, and he had lots of connections to, you know, Tony, and he was really jealous that we were able to get him on, believe it or not. But then we went from having, you know, guests, and we had our tapped in segment. Those were always fun.
We had some great beer guests on our show, including, since we are celebrating today, technically our 200th show, one of our earliest beer guests were the fine folks from Goose Island Brewing Company in Chicago, Illinois. So in honor of them, I have opened up a 2014 Goose Island Bourbon County Stout. And let me just tell you this, it still tastes remarkable.
I bet it does. I'm sitting here just watching you drink it, and you got to add some slurps because it's radio, not TV. So, there you go. But yeah, we did some great tapped in segments. What I think people probably don't realize is how much actual work goes into getting and lining up those people. Right.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, you know, we got some pressure from those above us to try and shorten the show. At one point, I think we tried to take it down to 30 minutes, and that was just never going to happen.
I was going to say, I rattle on sometimes for 30 minutes in individual segments.
Yeah, I think we may have done like two shows, if we're lucky, at 30 minutes. But we did cut out the guest, which made it a little bit easier on us, you know, versus having to try and hunt and set people up and get them to call in and not have any technical issues. And then we did cut the tapped in segment for the same reason, to cut a little bit of time out. Those were, what, 15 to 20 minutes usually?
At least 10 minutes.
Yeah. And they were fun, quite honestly. I thought they were fun. And through all of that, I can tell you that I know we still have, well, with our new format that we've been in for years now, where it's roughly it's an hour show, right? We split it to basically it's around 30 minutes for DFS and 30 minutes for our intro and regular season fantasy football. But I know that we still have, at least as of 2 weeks ago, at least one listener. No, it's not my mom. Although she probably would if she could figure out how to use the podcast app on her phone. It's not my wife because she's listening over my shoulder usually. My mother-in-law, or monster-in-law as she's affectionately called, used to actually listen to my Friday calls on WDAE, but she doesn't do the podcast. It's Steve Williams. He reached out to me on the social media site formerly known as Twitter and said, "Hey, do you know what's going on? Can't find your podcast on Apple." I was like, "Nope, not sure what happened." But you can listen to it for free at the Huddle. You know, I sent him the link. And then I reached out to Corey at the Huddle that, you know, that does stuff for us and is our boss, basically one of our bosses. And he figured out whatever the issue was, and it's back up and out on Apple. So we'll have 200 episodes out on Apple by probably sometime tomorrow afternoon, maybe even sooner than that.
Well, and again, I'm not sure how far back you can search on Apple, but I know that when I was looking today to find out about our first episode, I saw that at least on the homepage for Google, it has episodes dating back to episode number 99. So you can listen to our last 100 episodes, at least on Google.
There you go. I like that. And you know what? Before we do anything, I guess I should try and see if we can pop a little champagne here in celebration of our 200th episode. Let's see if I cannot break anything when I do this. Let's see how this translates.
Aim it away from the microphone. Or aim it towards the microphone, if you feel it's appropriate.
As you can probably see, it was a failure.
But you know, you can at least enjoy a little sip of the bubbly though while you're recording today, because unlike being on television, where you're not legally allowed to consume alcohol while doing a public broadcast, here on the radio and on podcast form, there's nothing wrong with sipping a little alcohol.
I can tell you this, it definitely is not as good as your Goose Island that you're drinking right now.
This is so good, Steve. I wish I could share it with you. Maybe I'll see if I can, I'll mail you a bottle of 2014 as a celebratory thing in the next couple days here.
There you go. Not only did the microphone not pick up the sound, there was barely any sound. It was a small little split that somebody had given me years ago, and it was in the back of the fridge. I was like, well, I don't want to waste a good bottle of champagne. My wife will kill me. And it was actually a twist off. It did not have any to it at all. So yeah, that's how we roll. I guess when we get to 400, I'll make sure we have a good bottle.
Exactly.
I don't know if we're going to get to 400. Man, that's a long time.
I was going to say that means we both have to live on for at least another decade.
That's right. But I will say this, it's been a pleasure doing these with you, Harley. It really has. I know that there's been times where I've needed to change when we record. I know that you've had times, maybe not as much as I have, to change the recording times. And I always appreciated you being as flexible as you could. But man, come hell or high water, or hell or high watermelon, we've always been here, and we've never missed a week, I don't think, including when we've had some vacations.
Yeah, I mean, even through a global pandemic.
Yeah, we were here. We were your constant. Like it or not, and hopefully we've won you a little coin over the years on top of it all. And if not, hopefully we've at least been enjoyable for you to listen to. And I'll tell you what's enjoyable for me to listen to and enjoyable for me to do is to always throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitzed Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Several quarterbacks suffered injuries this weekend, with the worst being Kirk Cousins, who suffered a torn Achilles tendon. As a Vikings fan, I can state the only positive part of this news is that we no longer have to answer questions about whether or not the Vikings will be trading Cousins. Tyrod Taylor was sent to the hospital with a rib injury. The team also had him stay overnight, as they were originally concerned that he may have a punctured lung. Now, all I can say about that is, I hope it is a different doctor than the one that he saw in Los Angeles, who actually did puncture his lung. Matthew Stafford injured his thumb Sunday and is considered day-to-day. Fortunately for Stafford, the x-rays came back negative for a fracture, although they have announced that the injury is a sprained ulnar collateral ligament in his thumb. What? I have just a ton of questions here. Am I the only person who thought that the UCL was in the elbow and not the thumb? Is he going to need Tommy John surgery? Can we even call it Tommy John surgery since this is football? And how is this a day-to-day injury? Will Levis showed out in his first career shot. It wouldn't be the 200th episode without a screw-up of some kind here, so I'm going to take that one again, folks. Will Levis showed out in his first career start, throwing for 4 touchdowns and no interceptions versus a very good Atlanta secondary. When asked about the rookie beating his team, Atlanta coach Arthur Smith said that if he was their coach, he would have made sure that Levis stayed fresh by rotating in Malik Willis every other play. And finally, the Buffalo Bills are signing Leonard Fournette, because apparently they don't have enough aging subpar running backs on their current roster. This has been your BPN News Update.
You know, I know you were close to saying, can we stop and start again? There's no way in heck we were going to stop and start in the 200th episode. And it goes to, it just figures, I never interrupt or interject during your segment, right? And I got to say, yeah. I thought it was the pick six ligament. And it just, you can blame me for that screw up, I guess.
I don't know where I lost myself there on that one.
You know, I did hear or read on the social media site formerly known as Twitter. That's how I'm going to refer to it from now on, I think. That he is now second all time with 30 pick sixes to the most wonderful Green Bay quarterback. No, not Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre, 32. 32 pick sixes for Favre.
From my personal experience, I would have guessed Matt Schaub has to be pretty high up on that list. I mean, he had like 6 in one season.
Yeah, you got to play long enough, though, to rack those kind of numbers up.
That's true. I mean, he was never a long-term starter for anyone. But he always kind of was that guy that came in and played a few games every single season. But yeah, again, I remember that one season in particular where he was, it was like every week he would throw a pick six, sometimes 2 in one week.
But then again, Brett Favre, let's see. Brett Favre, how many seasons did Brett Favre play? He played...
Well, I remember a season and a half with Minnesota, so...
16, 18, 19, 20 seasons, it looks like, is what they're calling it. That's still more than one a season, man.
Yep.
32 divided by 20. He didn't start much his first year, I don't think, right?
That is correct.
Man, that's... Let's see. What did he do in his first year? He played 2 games, so let's he didn't have any. He had 0 completions, 4 attempts, and nope, he did have 2 interceptions his first year. So who knows? Maybe one of them was a pick six. But still, if you want to just take that 20 a season out, make it 19, that's a lot of picks, man. Pick sixes, 32 divided by 19. Let's do a little math here. 1.7 per season. Damn, and he's a Hall of Famer.
When you look at a guy like Favre, though, and also his future replacement in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, you're talking about 2 quarterbacks, though, that were basically given carte blanche to throw the ball as often as they wanted, and they were given that gunslinger mentality, at least that's the description people would use to describe them, in that they were allowed to take shots that other quarterbacks may find themselves being Arthur Smith by if they tried to throw a ball like that.
You know,
we've officially adjectivized Arthur Smith now.
There you go. So so we're sitting here, we're talking about a about quarterbacks that didn't perform well, right? Mistakes.
Yes.
And I guess I would have been remiss if we didn't do this. You know, in recording 200 episodes or 199 plus this one, which will give us 200 episodes, we definitely didn't do everything right. I remember one night when we lost an entire episode after we were done. You remember that?
I do.
One, I shouldn't even say it. My God, I got nothing to knock on here. An entire episode. when we went back to look at it, because I'm usually looking at a screen and not the actual GarageBand recording, and when we went back, there was nothing. We had to come back the next day because there was no way we were going to do it that night because we were so mad, I think. But we wound up re-recording it, and you know, hopefully it was a good show. But the point is, I've had people over the years ask me how to do it and what they should do and when they're doing a podcast. And honestly, my feedback, that's not what I want to put, my advice is a lot like it is when it comes to how you know who to start in fantasy. Have fun, right? It's don't try to be perfect. We tried to be perfect. I know I wanted it to be perfect when we first started out. Didn't want any of those little ums and, you know, stuff like that, right? And I think that where we really hit our stride is when we just turned it into a conversation. We're like we're two guys at a bar hanging out, having a conversation.
And splitting a couple beers.
Exactly. And like I said, I know I reference my wife quite a bit, and she's not in the room tonight. She's still seething after that Browns loss yesterday. I asked her if she wanted to come on and make an appearance. She says, "You do not want me on there tonight. You think Stephen A. Smith is bad at times? You don't want me on your show tonight." So for what it's worth. But anyway, she said, she said this over the years, you and Harley really do a great job. You just work well off of each other. You sound like you're just comfortable and enjoying it. And that's what I think people like. So hopefully that is what people enjoy. And, you know, the content helps too.
It certainly doesn't help, except if we help you win some money too in the process.
That's true. And content wise, I guess we should say what we're going to do tonight since we didn't say it. We are going to have a discussion about how the schedule impacts the fantasy playoffs, in addition to our pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays for DFS. So, Harley, I'm going to give you the mic, and I'm going to stop talking for a minute. And if you want to say anything you want to say with regards to the 200 episodes, have at it. And then if not, let's just jump right into the episode.
Well, obviously, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this and allowing us to get out into the ether sphere of the podcast world. Obviously, I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in week in and week out and listening to us and asking us questions online. I'm glad that we are able to help provide answers for you to hopefully, like, again, either A, make you some money, or B, at least give you some solid fantasy advice. And perhaps most importantly, we of course have to thank the fine folks at USA Today and thehuddle.com for allowing us to produce this show and have it be hosted on their site for the last 9+ years.
That's why we have to try and be PG at worst.
Exactly.
And we slip every now and then. I think we've only ever had to bump out a couple words, though, maybe a couple times, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. There have been a couple that probably slipped by over the years.
Possibly. Can we officially say that if we want to use the word Arthur Smith going forward, we have to put a buzzer on that?
Oh, yeah, you know what? That's possible. That's possible. With the emotions it elicits from people, right? It's a trigger.
It really is triggering. And I mean, we say it in all joshingness here on the air, but the amount of just vehement uproar against a single coach online, you just don't see this in this day and age. I mean, yes, there have been coaches who have been mockeried in the past online, particularly on Twitter and on other social media sites. Guys like Nathaniel Hackett jump into my mind really quickly. But I mean, just the amount of just vehement hate for Smith is incredible. Teams are actually upset angry at him.
You know, like, you ever watch Disney, the Disney Channel, where you can watch Marvel shows and stuff like that, and it usually at the top they have that little disclaimer, contains flashing lights, et cetera, right? To warn people in advance. Maybe we should add a warning in the beginning. May discuss Arthur Smith. All right. Well, look, pal, it's been great. But let's get into this week's first segment and let's talk some scheduling.
Okay, so what I've done for this, I'm going to go ahead and go through a couple teams here and then have you comment on the players based on their schedules in the fantasy playoffs, which for the purposes of this exercise, I've broken down to weeks 14, 15, 16, and 17. Now, obviously, some leagues just have their playoffs 15, 16, 17. Some leagues include week 18, too. Obviously, a good league in the past would have knocked out week 17. Now that we've increased the schedule to week 18, a good league will knock out week 18. Some leagues don't include week 14. So, again, there's different possibilities. But for the purposes of this exercise, I'm breaking down playoff matchups for fantasy-relevant teams.
And let me
by fantasy-relevant teams, I mean teams that have maybe two or three or more players that would be fantasy-relevant. So I'm not going to break down the Arizona Cardinals for you. I'm not going to break down the Carolina Panthers for you. We're going to talk about teams that you may actually have more than one player on.
So what I was going to say, too, is where you said that, you know what, you may not have your playoff start till week 15, but even if that's the case, week 14 or that last week prior to the playoff starting is almost like a playoff week for a lot of players, for a lot of teams, right? Trying to position and get in and stuff like that. So hopefully that can help. But go ahead, take it away.
Before I actually get into the teams, I will point out that in the playoffs this year, unlike previous seasons, we're not looking at a ton of buys. The league has actually set it up so that the buys for most teams end week 13. Now, there are actually six teams on bye week 13, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah,
but it's better than buys in week 14 and 15, like we've seen in the last couple of years. The only two teams that have buys in week 14 are the Arizona Cardinals and the Washington Commanders, two teams that you probably don't expect to have a lot of fantasy playoff relevant players from. I mean, you got your McLaurin, maybe you got Sam Howell in two quarterback leagues, and perhaps a James Conner might be back by that point. But again, these aren't two of the teams I'll be talking about in this diatribe, because neither one is going to be teams that you're going to be pulling a lot of your fantasy playoff relevant team players from.
That's right. That is right.
Let's start off in the NFC. We have San Francisco is on a bit of a slump right now. They've lost three straight games. And basically the injuries to Deebo Samuel, along with their offensive tackle, and a little bit earlier there was some questions about whether or not Christian McCaffrey would play. Obviously, he has played the last two games. But their team is starting to slip a little bit. But they still have a lot of fantasy relevant players. But in the playoffs, they'll be facing Seattle, Arizona, Baltimore, and Washington. Now, the first thing that jumps out at me is this is four teams that are very, very bad against the pass.
Yeah. And just to add a little bit, they also get Philadelphia and Seattle the 2 weeks prior to that, too. But a lot of things can change. We still have some trade deadline stuff that could happen with teams trying to shore up their secondaries, right? I see overall something that makes really difficult planning in the playoffs with this. I see a hard matchup, a decent matchup, a hard matchup, a decent matchup. And that's tough, man, right? Because you can't have highs and lows like that and expect to move through the fantasy playoffs. So any of your San Fran players not named Christian McCaffrey, I'd be a little leery of.
On the other end, like so I'd be intrigued to go after a guy like Deebo right now, who obviously is out right now, and he may or may not return for week 9, but even if he doesn't, again, that schedule against the pass is really, really nice for me, and there's going to be teams that are probably annoyed by Debo's injury, might be willing to unload him, so
well,
possibilities there.
That's where you can take advantage of a team that needs production now and maybe give up a package of a couple guys that you can feel like you can push away, and you're still giving them value, but you're going to take Deebo, and he's going to wind up being your wide receiver 3 when he comes back.
Exactly.
Then that's fine. Okay, what else you got?
Let's stay in that division. We'll talk about another team that gets three very good matchups against the pass, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. Their first game against San Francisco. One of the things we've noticed over these last couple weeks when San Francisco's gone on their losing streak, they're still pretty good against the run, but they are struggling against the pass. But then Seattle gets Philadelphia, Tennessee, and Pittsburgh, three of the worst teams in the league against the pass.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, with the team starting to get Jackson, Smith, and Jigba more involved in that offense, it's looking like Geno Smith and the rest of that offense would be good pass catchers to pick up.
Yeah, and you could be at a point in the schedule in week 15 with the Eagles, maybe this is just me holding out hope for this, where they may be cruising and being able to not play some players full tilt, you know what I mean? But even just winding up with Tennessee and Pittsburgh at the end, that's a really, really nice matchup for any of those guys, I think. And I don't think it'll hurt Kenneth Walker either, honestly.
I was going to say, if there was a player that might get hurt, it would be Walker because of San Francisco, Philadelphia, and Tennessee.
Yeah, but you used the pass to set up the run. I think he'll be solid. He's not going to carry you, but you're not going to have to say, I can't play him, I don't think. Not at that point in the season.
I don't think so. No. Okay, a third team in that division that is considerably playoff relevant, unless their quarterback misses an extreme period of time, is the Los Angeles Rams. Now, they're facing a pretty good defensive schedule here. Baltimore, the Washington Commanders, the New Orleans Saints, and the New York Giants, who have surprisingly played good defense over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it murderer's row, but it's definitely not an easy gauntlet to get through.
I definitely don't like the running backs in that case, the Daryl Hendersons and Royce Freemans and even Kyren Williams.
Yep. And I got to be honest with you. You mentioned the Rams as a possible playoff team, depending on their quarterback. I don't see that happening, even if the quarterback isn't hurt for long, honestly. So I think that we could see them mailing it in by that time of year and maybe trying to get some looks at some younger guys possibly. But we already see that it's tough to figure out what's going on with Kupp and Puka right now, right? Imagine towards the end of the year when you've got a much stronger matchups on the defensive side that you have to see, and what, two of those four are away, with New York being the one that's in New York where weather could absolutely be a part of it too. Yeah, I wouldn't be happy about those guys having to play that matchups.
Okay, well, there isn't a lot to be said about the NFC South, but there are a couple teams with some fantasy relevant players. Look at the New Orleans Saints. They have a schedule that looks a little bit tough to end the way, but they look easy to start the playoffs. They've got Carolina, the Giants, the Rams, and Tampa Bay. Obviously, you can run like crazy against Carolina and the Giants, but running against the Rams and Tampa is no easy task. So you got to wonder, is Alvin Kamara going to have as much value as you might think there?
Yeah, and the Giants just got, I think, appreciably worse on defense because they shipped Leonard Williams to Seattle, actually, as part of a trade this week. Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where you'd like to see your schedule get easier as you progress than get harder, right?
Yes.
But you could possibly springboard over, you know, from Carolina to New York. And again, I'm not really sure that we're going to see a great Los Angeles Rams defense in week 16, but the Bucs in week 17 scares me a little bit.
Well, speaking of the Bucs, there would be the other team that's possibly got some relevance in that NFC South. One of their schedule is Atlanta, Green Bay, Jacksonville, and the Saints. So three early games against teams you can run against. But in general, four teams that are fairly good, particularly against number one wide receivers. So yeah, that gives me a little pause on Mike Evans.
Yeah, the good thing is, I guess, with Mike Evans is you weren't relying on him as a wide receiver one or probably even two this year. You may have him as your wide receiver three, so that makes it a little easier to stomach. But I wouldn't expect any kind of wide receiver one numbers from him in the playoffs, at least late in the playoffs. The one thing I will say is that of those, only one of them's bad weather possibly, and that's at Green Bay in week 15. You got a dome in Atlanta. Jacksonville should be good weather, and New Orleans, of course, should be good weather also because that's in Tampa.
Well, unfortunately, in the NFC North, Minnesota's offense might suffer a huge loss with the fact that Kirk Cousins is not going to play. But even if they do get Cousins back, their schedule down the stretch is the Las Vegas Raiders, Cincinnati, Detroit, and Green Bay. You got two teams that you can run against in the Raiders and Green Bay, and Cincinnati to some degree. It's hard to run against Detroit. And you can pass against all four of those teams, although Green Bay is a little bit tougher against the pass. So
you know,
there's possibilities there if Minnesota can find a quarterback.
So here's the deal. I know you said that nobody has to ask if they're trading a man. Don't they wish they traded him before now at this point?
Oh, God, yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. If you're a JJ owner, you've already lost him, so you've kind of have already hopefully repurposed your team to deal with that. Because even when he comes back, if he came back 150% of who he is, we don't know what he's going to get a quarterback, right? So that's going to be a big – you'll be lucky to get what you get with him. Alexander
Mattison –
really
hurts the guys who are relying on Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, that's what I say. So you're Mattison, you already have realized, well, that was a – I'm not getting anywhere near what I thought I'd get from him this year, right?
Cam Akers is going to be starting next week. I can pretty much guarantee that.
Right. Then you go to Hockenson, and this is the one where I feel bad. Like, man, if you had Hock – like – I know we're going to talk about DFS later. He's got a fantastic matchup. You want to be able to play him. So there's no way you can play him. And you're kind of screwed because you're not going to be able to sell him. It's going to be hard to find something else at tight end. This is a lose-lose all around in my eyes for the Vikings skill players going forward.
One team that doesn't lose in the NFC North is Detroit. Their schedule for the first three games looks like a cakewalk. Chicago, Denver, Minnesota, and then the tough Dallas matchup in week 17. So you've got three teams that you can throw against and you can run against.
Yep. The tough one is at Dallas. What you have to hope if you're a Detroit skill position holder, Amon-Ra St. Brown comes to mind first and foremost, right? Jahmyr Gibbs, is that maybe Dallas has their position locked up for the playoffs if they've gotten, you know, that, and they're not really, they don't need to risk playing their starters full games in the last couple weeks. It's doubtful that that's the case, but that's what you have to hope for, because going into Dallas in week 17, especially if they need a win to say try and lock up the one seed or the two seed or get a bye or home field with, you know, a little more than just being a wild card team, that could be tough.
Well, now we're talking about Dallas actually came off their bye this past week and looked otherworldly against the Rams. They're going to have some shootouts down the stretch here. Here's their schedule. Philadelphia, Buffalo, Miami, and Detroit. That's four games that could be very high scoring.
Would you also say they could be low scoring too, though? Buffalo,
very much so. Buffalo, if they get all their defensive backs back. Miami, same thing, if they can get Xavier Howard back.
Yep, and Detroit.
Detroit's good against the run. They're not that great against the pass. Philadelphia is horrible against the pass, but
yeah. So here's how I look at it too. So again, good weather games with the exception of going to Buffalo in week 15. That could be a bad weather game, right? Dallas versus Philly's in Dallas, so you're going to have good weather there. You're at Miami, so at worst you're going to have a lot of humidity to possibly deal with, right? And then Detroit is in Dallas also. So at least three of the four games, you know you're going to have good weather. They do look like they portray as possibly higher scoring events. Yeah, they could be low scoring, but I'd say that the odds of them being higher scoring is better than that, than being low scoring. So I wouldn't worry about any of my Dallas skill position players, quite honestly.
I think now's maybe the time to look in buying someone too. Buy a Michael Gallup or a Brandon Cooks. Troy Pollard, Tony Pollard, who I believe is a lot of people are down in him right now because he's just not getting usage.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a bad point.
Maybe too late to buy Dakota and CD though.
Yeah, probably. And I don't know that I would go crazy to get CD, but if somebody wants a two for one because they need depth and they lost somebody, and you can give them something that's close to equivalent and, and some depth and pull it off, then go for it. That's what you try to do.
Let's roll up the coast to a team that you can speak a lot to, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. They've got Dallas. They've got Seattle. They've got the Giants and Arizona. So one, two, three teams you can run against and three teams you can pass against.
Yeah, and again, so right now they're currently the one seed, right? But they've got one loss, and they've got a handful of teams that have two losses. So it's not like they've run away with anything yet. They've got a killer stretch of games coming up right now. I mean, they go versus the Cowboys in Philly. They get a bye week. Then it's Kansas City, then at home against Buffalo, then at home against San Francisco, then go to Dallas, then go to Seattle, then they play the Giants at home. Then you get to the – man, they've got a gauntlet ahead of them. So I don't think that they're going to be sitting anybody, because I think that it's going to be a clawing and scratching to the very end to try and lock up a one seed possibly, right? And as long as they're playing, you're not sitting Jalen Hurts in any of those matchups. You're not sitting A.J. Brown, maybe Devontae Smith. And maybe Devontae Smith's a buy at this point, right? Because people are a little bit disappointed in the production he's had. But if you go look at it versus last year, pre-Dallas Goedert injury, and you look at last night's game even, I guess we didn't mention that. We're recording on Monday Night Football. He only had one less target than A.J. Brown. So it's not like he's not getting targeted too. And he had a couple big catches. So if you can get Devontae Smith for a little less than a, you know, dollar for dollar, that might not be a bad idea.
I think it's time we switch over to the AFC and one of those teams you mentioned that they're facing. My Kansas City Chiefs. They actually have a kind of wishy-washy mixed match of teams coming up in the playoffs. Buffalo, the Patriots, the Raiders, and Cincinnati. And Cincinnati is there's gonna be a lot of battle back and forth in that game, obviously. And Buffalo, obviously, again, if their secondary gets healthy, the Patriots are very tough against the pass. Raiders are really the only cake team in that foursome.
Well, and I think it comes down to this: Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes are getting started no matter what, no matter who they're playing, right?
Obviously.
All those other guys, we want them to be the guy, but nobody's really stepped up to be the guy. Isaiah Pacheco has been an okay running back too, right? Gives you some running back one upside, but there's still risk every time you start him.
And all four of those teams you can run against, it should be pointed out. But again, there might be some passing issues in those four games.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't put too much thought into the Kansas City offense. The guys that are going to start are going to start, and then your fringe guys – you may be stuck with or without using them depending on what the matchups look like as the season progresses.
Well, the other team in that division with some talent is the Los Angeles Chargers, Denver, Las Vegas Raiders, Buffalo, and Denver again. Please tell me this is just the most beautiful setup for Austin Ekeler ever.
Yes. If there was a guy that you should have acquired a couple of weeks ago, it was Austin Ekeler. Is there a guy you probably missed the window on? It's probably Austin Ekeler. If you can still find a way to do it, I would do it.
That foursome, if the Chargers have something to play for in that strand, Ekeler could have 800 total yards in those four games.
Yeah, that's you know what? You're not stretching it too much there.
Yeah. What a thing. I mean, and the same thing. No, obviously, Josh Palmer re-injured his knee, and they started to use Quentin Johnston a little bit more this past week. Maybe he's a guy you can try to acquire on the cheap. Obviously, Keenan Allen is going to be peppered 20 times a game now. Darius Davis, even, it might be a sneaky pickup if you're looking for a deep wide receiver dive there. And they also have the former Cowboy, Semi Fajoko, who caught the touchdown this past weekend. Lots of possibilities there. Donald Parham. He is actually among the league leaders in touchdowns right now. Guy to consider picking up.
Especially,
and he qualifies as a tight end. He's going to catch – he's only caught 12 passes, but five of them have been for touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a big target, right?
Yes, he is.
And we know how thin it is at tight end, so yeah, no complaints from me there. And, of course, I think Justin Herbert should have a good close to the season also. Whether they can actually notch the wins they need, that's a whole different story.
Well, another team that you've got emotional ties to is, and I should say your wife at least does, and that's the Cleveland Browns. They've got Jacksonville, Chicago, Houston, and the Jets. Now, the first thought for me is Houston and the Jets are pretty good against the pass, but both can be run on. Jacksonville and Chicago, kind of Jacksonville is mediocre against both, and Chicago is horrible against both. So,
yeah.
There's some possibilities for Cleveland if they can get their quarterback situation figured out.
I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? It's really what's going – I didn't feel comfortable starting any of those guys knowing that Deshaun's out, and it impacts your decision on, you know, what do you do this week? Is he going to play or not? Because it's going to be a week-to-week thing, right? He can't drive the ball right now with, I guess, the rotator cuff injury that he's dealing with or a rotator cuff strain or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, there are no big names other than Amari Cooper at this point, right?
David, well, I think he's probably the biggest talking point is that this past week proved that he is capable of succeeding even with P.J. Walker, quarterback.
Yeah, but who's got him as their wide receiver one, right? He's probably a wide receiver two at best for most people.
Yes.
So that it makes it a little easier to stomach, right? And I think that's where people have to have that context when they're trying to decide what they're looking for and what their expectations are. So I had expectations for Elijah Moore. I thought he was going to be a solid wide receiver three, then give some upside. That's where you see the Deshaun Watson loss carrying over, right? But Deshaun Watson gets back and can get some – look, he's got some good games to prep with. He's got a Baltimore Ravens game, Pittsburgh Steelers, Denver to get going, and then you never know. So you might get an extra player. Kareem Hunt and Ford and Strong, who knows how that's going to develop. You'd like to see it, think it would be Ford if he's healthy, or fully Kareem Hunt if not. But it looks like there's a split of some sort, and we're probably not going to know how that's going to play out, so it's always going to be risky.
Again, with that nice schedule against the run, it would be nice to know for certain who's going to be the guy there.
It would be nice.
There's two other teams in that division with a legitimate chance, and that's Cincinnati and Baltimore. Cincinnati has got Indianapolis, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City. So three teams right off the bat that can throw the ball against fairly effectively. And Kansas City has been very tough against the pass this year, thanks to the development of their second-year cornerbacks. But you got them, and you got Baltimore facing the Rams, Jacksonville, San Francisco, and Miami. So some potential running back stops there. Gus Edwards obviously scored three times this past weekend, but I've got a little bit of hesitation there unless they can swing a trade for a guy like Derrick Henry.
And that's always a possibility. That's where we said, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the trade deadline. But even then, are you happy playing, you know, Derrick Henry against some stout defense? It's still going to make you wonder, but you can't get out of that, right? If you have him, you're starting him. You'd have to live with what you get. So I'm not worried about the skill players for Cincinnati, honestly. I think that those all could be higher scoring games, and we could see a preview of what could happen in the playoffs in that Week 17 matchup against Kansas City. The Ravens, they will go as Lamar goes. So even if it's tough sledding for the Gusses and the Justice Hills of the world, right, and Odell Beckham Jr., who went, you know, catchless this past weekend, Lamar is going to get what he gets, and his legs are going to give him his value. So I don't see anything here that makes me say I'm worried about Lamar, and I try to trade him for something else.
Okay, let's go down to the AFC South and look at Indianapolis and Jacksonville.
You're not truly calling Indianapolis a fantasy powerhouse of some sort here, are you? Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, ever since Gardner Minshew took over, that offense is wide open.
Minshew mania.
Yeah, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and the Raiders down the stretch. Pittsburgh and the Raiders, you can definitely throw the ball against. Atlanta's a little bit tougher. Cincinnati, as we've mentioned before, is kind of mid against both. But you've got Jonathan Taylor, you've got Zach Moss, both have looked very, very good on offense. You've got Josh Downs, who's been a godsend with Gardner Minshew at the helm. Michael Pittman got a squeaky wheel game last week. I think he's going to continue to be an effective pass catcher there.
Yep.
As for Jacksonville, they've got a tough schedule for their first three. They've got Cleveland, Baltimore, and then Tampa Bay before finally getting a cake matchup in Week 17, if you should happen to make it there in Carolina.
Right. So then that's where you – and at this point, though, cake or not, like Calvin Ridley's got to scare you, right?
Yep.
Christian Kirk.
And you got to wonder, too, if by Week 17, if J.C. Horn will be back, if that's going to affect Carolina's defense. Perfect.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's probably one of the teams I'd be more worried about their skill position players. Back to the Colts, what I'm hoping happens, and it's not going to more than likely, is you see Jonathan Taylor take 80% of everything and you don't have to worry about Zach Moss, and because it's cannibalization of those fantasy points in a sense, right?
As a Taylor owner, I'm right there with you.
So that's what I'm hoping happens, and we know that he's the clear-cut 80% carry guy come the end of the season with the money that you're paying him. And I'm not saying I want Zach Moss to do poorly, but I'd like to see that role paired back and Jonathan's role in it ramp up as he gets his legs under him, so to say.
So if you're the owner of Travis Etienne, do you shop Travis Etienne, try to get Jonathan Taylor in a trade?
Man, I think I would do that, actually.
Exactly.
Yep.
And, of course, our last division, a lot of people thought that there would be three teams in the NFC East. I'm sorry, the AFC East, that would be in playoff potential right now. Obviously, the injury to Aaron Rodgers knocked the Jets out of contention there. So we're looking at the Dolphins and Buffalo. Dolphins face Tennessee, the Jets, Dallas, and Baltimore. Obviously, Tennessee is easy to pass against, but then you've got a murderer's row of secondaries there.
Yeah. I mean, and the Jets are leaning on Breece Hall, right?
Yes.
And I mean, so you did say the Jets, right? Or no, who are you talking? I'm lost. I'm
Dolphins right now.
Dolphins, I'm sorry. That's what happens when you start flipping between pages and you get lost on me here. So the Dolphins.
Dolphins facing Tennessee, which is an easy matchup against the pass. The Jets, Dallas, and Baltimore.
Right, but none of those teams are easy against the run, and that's where I think Breece Hall's got the most. Oh, God, I keep going back to Breece Hall. I got the Jets on the freaking mind. Achane.
The thing in Devon and Achane. Yes,
Achane. By the time he gets back, 200 episodes, how do we ever get here? By the time he gets back, and then you've got Mostert, right? I always get Mostert and Eli Mitchell confused for some reason. And Mostert, like, I think people that are relying on that offensive running game that Miami's had are going to be in a bad spot come those playoffs. They're going to be like, really, like, I mean, I don't see those as good matchups at all. And
well, it's already started. I mean, with the return of Jeff Wilson Jr. a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
Mostert's numbers have been down the last couple of weeks. And you figured, obviously, no Achane, Mostert would eat. Well, that hasn't been the case. Yeah. Now, obviously, those defenses are also, again, except for Tennessee, are very good against the pass.
Right.
But I think that Tyreek Hill pretty much proved this past week that
you
start him. Yeah. there's no thinking twice about you.
I was going to say, it's with the passing game, with Tua, with Waddle, and with Hill, it's not about should I start them. It's about how much am I going to get, right? You're just going to have to possibly quell expectations a little bit. There's no taking any of them out of your lineup, especially Tyreek. So, okay.
What a season. 1,000 yards, and it's barely the halfway mark.
Yep. Should we talk about the Jets since I want to talk about Breece Hall so much? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Who else? Buffalo,
Kansas City, Dallas, the Chargers, and the Patriots. Three teams that's very hard to throw against. And the Chargers.
and the Chargers. There you go. Well, let's go to week 17 first. New England, Bill's been not Bill this year. I mean, it seems like when you think he's going to have his defense step up, they don't. And then when you're not expecting it, they kind of do. And Mac Jones looks like crap 1 week. And then, okay, he's putting up stats the next week. Like, I don't know what you get from New England. So I'm not even going to let them factor into my decision on if I'm going to go after a guy, keep a guy, or whatever, right? But, man, Kansas City, Dallas, that could put you in a bad spot right away.
I don't think you're trading away Stephon Diggs, but if you've got Gabe Davis, I might be looking to sell him now.
Exactly. I was going to say, I put Stephon Diggs in that same almost Tyreek Hill spot where you're starting him, and it's not about what you're going to get. It's about how much you're going to get or what you're possibly expecting. But, yeah, the Gabe Davises and forget the running backs if they went and traded
for Fournette. Well, I was going to say they just signed Leonard Fournette. Obviously, they've got James Cook and Latavius Murray. And if you happen to have Khalil Shakir on your team, and he had that big breakout game last week, and actually two decent performances in a row. Sell, Mortimer, sell.
and honestly, I'd sell Dalton Kincaid too if it's not a keeper or a dynasty.
I'm tough on that one. I obviously, again, some tough matchups there. Dallas and the Patriots, both very, very good against tight ends.
Yeah.
But I am absolutely in love with Dalton Kincaid. I hope that Dawson Knox never sees the field again. Sorry, Dawson fans, but I love Sam LaPorta at the start of the season. Dalton Kincaid is going to finish as the better tight end at the end of the year this year.
No, I don't doubt that at all. Between the two. Don't doubt that at all. All right. Want to talk Jets? No, I'm kidding.
No, I think we've gone through all the fantasy relevant teams again. Like, so there's teams like the Jets that teams like the Raiders who you might have one or two guys on, but you're not counting on them in the fantasy playoffs. So That's a fun little exercise there to see guys you might want to pick up, guys you might want to trade away. Because if you are in the playoffs, if you're going to make your league's playoffs, you want the best possible roster for the playoffs. And now is the time, if you can afford to start shopping for players that are going to be prime in the playoffs.
Yeah, and this is where you have to know where you are, right? If you are, 7-1, 6-2, something like that, and you've got...
I was going to say even 5-2, 6, yeah.
Yeah, like versus your 4-3, 3-4, or something like that, right? And you're in the mix, you're still fighting. If you're at the top, you know that you can take a few more risks where you're possibly giving some value away now to help position yourself better later because you know that you're going to make the playoffs. So that's just where, and then if you're scavenging and scratching and all that kind of stuff to make the playoffs, then you have to do some stuff a little bit earlier to make sure that you can get there. So you may have to trade some of those guys away that we said might have better matchups down the road because they're not doing any good. They have bad matchups now. So it is what it is. Best of luck.
Well, nice thing about that is these are all 5-6 weeks down the field. And then the time being, if you don't have the ability to trade for these players for the future, you can play daily fantasy and live in the moment.
There you go. I like it. We're running late and you gave me the transition. So we're going to go into our next segment. DFS, pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays. For those that are new, Harley and I don't discuss this. Harley's going to set an over-under to see what we can match on. Let it rip.
4.
Under.
Okay, it was ugly this week, folks. The main slate is absolutely awful. And let me explain to you how awful it is. I will give you the names of the 5th, 6th, and 7th highest priced quarterbacks on DraftKings this week. CJ Stroud, Geno Smith, and Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
He may not even play
Call
this
of
coming
Duty
week.
Murray.
If you go one step down from them, the 7th highest priced guy on DraftKings, Sam Howell.
Goodness. It's this is I'll do the PG version. This is butt. This week is butt. All right. Start us off. Who are we going to pay up for at the quarterback spot?
I could have gone for one of the really expensive guys, but didn't. I actually went down the list a couple players and settled on Dak Prescott, Mr. Dakota at Philadelphia. 6,500 on DraftKings, 8,200 on FanDuel. As we mentioned before, the Cowboys obviously used their bye week to unlock the Prescott-Lamb connection. They're facing a Philadelphia defense that ranks bottom 5 in completions, passing yards, and passing touchdowns. I like this game as a shootout. I think that both teams are going to score a lot of points. And I think a lot of teams are going to be on Jalen Hurts because he's the better quarterback in reality. Use that money savings and go get Dak Prescott instead.
So we don't match right off the bat. I hated all the quarterbacks. Don't want to pay up for any of them, quite honestly. So if I'm going to pay up for anybody, I'm taking a guy that's at home at least, Lamar Jackson. I'm banking on him doing enough with his legs to make him at least 3 times value. That's it.
I will say this, too. I like Jackson on FanDuel, where his price is only 400 higher than Prescott.
Yeah.
Because of his legs. But, yeah, the difference of 1,700 bucks on DraftKings is too big of a thing for me to avoid.
So now let me tell you this. I wrote down Dak as my pay up and crossed him out. And then I wrote Dak down as my stay away and crossed him out. And that's because I made Jalen Hurts my stay away, okay, because he's higher priced. Here's the deal. I actually expect this to possibly be a very high-scoring game also, but it's in Philadelphia, and it's the Dallas Cowboys. Throw everything out the window that you know about what these teams have done so far this season. None of that computes in this rivalry. I will not be shocked if it's a 17-14 type game, honestly, although it's got a better chance of being 38-35. I don't like this game with how it sets up. Yes, Philly's been awful against the pass, but it's the Cowboys. And Kevin Byard will have another week in the system. They can still get after the quarterback. I just don't like the game at all. It just worries me. I can see it going one of either way. I just don't feel comfortable with it, and maybe it's because I'm too close to it. I'd love to see it 42-7 Philly, but I don't think that's a possibility either. So, yeah, I'm steering clear of the game. I don't like it.
So your stay away is Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
We have our first match. I am staying away from Jalen Hurts for a lot of the same reasons you just said. If it does come down to the actual numbers, only 3 teams are allowing fewer passing yards per game than Dallas, despite the fact that Dallas is without their top cornerback. And opposing defenses, I'm sorry, opposing passer rating for Dallas is 75.9. That is the 3rd best in the league. That is not the type of numbers I want to target with at that price, $8,000 on DraftKings, $9,000 on FanDuel. Again, if I'm going to spend that, I'm going to take Lamar Jackson every single time.
Yeah. Okay. You probably don't feel as conflicted with the matchup. the Dallas-Philly matchup as I do, so I get it. But, yeah, I think Hurts is an easy stay away. He also could wind up with three rushing touchdowns with 3 yards. As long as he doesn't fumble
all this talk we did about how bad all the quarterbacks are this week, there's three guys I like as value plays this week, and I like all three of them better than any of the payoff because it's going to save me a ton of money.
Yeah. I feel dirty with who I wound up picking as my value play, and as we are talking right now, I'm crossing him off, and I'm going to my other guy instead.
Well, so the first guy I wrote down, and if this is your guy, I'll give this as a match. The first guy I wrote down was P.J. Walker at home versus Arizona, assuming, of course, that Deshaun won't start again next week. 4,800 and 6,400, that's basically league minimum on both sites. A little bit above that.
I like the matchup. I did not write P.J. down, so no, he wasn't one of them.
Then I went and I moved up a little bit and chose Gardner Minshew on the road in Carolina. Again, we mentioned Carolina. At this point, it's still shorthanded everywhere. And then I looked up even higher and I said, well, hell, if I'm going to pay for Gardner Minshew, I might as well just pay for Derek Carr as my value play. So I'm going to take Derek Carr versus Chicago, 5,700 on DraftKings, 7,100 on FanDuel. Only one team has allowed more passing touchdowns than Chicago. No team on the main slate has allowed more passing yards than Chicago. Derek Carr looked pretty darn good this past week, throwing the ball to Rashid Shaheed and Michael Thomas, and even Chris Olave. You know, he didn't really perform as well as I would have liked. All three of them are involved. They got Juwan Johnson back now. Taysom Hill obviously is a part of that. Elvin Kamara catching passes out of the backfield. Lots of weapons there.
So Derek Carr is like a top 10 value too, right? Let's see. 3, 4, 5.
Ninth highest on DraftKings.
Yeah, there you go. So no, we don't match. I got to tell you the first guy I wrote down that I was going with until about 2 minutes ago. I wrote down Mac Jones. At home, Washington just gave up a bunch of yards to Philly. I'm like, Washington's going to be let down because of that game on the road. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't do it. So I had to cross him out. I land on Gardner Minshew. Yeah, it's on the road, but it's Carolina. They're coming off the first win. I think Gardner Minshew makes us safe quarterback play amongst a horrible pool this week.
That's the thing about Minshew is he's guaranteed 270 and 2 every week.
Yeah. Yep.
And if he happens to run 1 and 2, that's even more value.
There you go. Speaking of running, how about running over to running back?
Well, I told you my value play quarterback is in a team that gets a lot of offensive acumen recently. I'm going to go with his running back as my pay up at running back. That's Alvin Kamara versus Chicago, 8,100 on DraftKings, 9,200 on FanDuel. I can afford that price because I'm paying cheaper at quarterback. Chicago is the worst in the league against receiving running backs, and Kamara has been an absolute beast through the air since returning from a suspension.
So I did not think we'd match on this, honestly, because I almost said, what year is it? Alvin Kamara's the top-priced running back. 8,100's not so hard to take, but 9,200 on FanDuel? My God. So much so that I said, I can't do it. I looked at Saquon Barkley and I was going to go with Saquon Barkley. But I said, no, I got to let the numbers dictate this. And I went Kamara. It's at home, Chicago, just Chicago, you know, it is bad. So we got a match.
And I will say that FanDuel price is a little stiffer because of the half point PPR versus the full point PPR on DraftKings.
He's going to have to get in the end zone at least once. That's for sure. Who are you staying away from?
Who is your stay away? For me?
Yeah.
I'm going to stay away from Jalen Hurts' running back, DeAndre Swift versus Dallas. 6,600 on DraftKings, 7,200 on FanDuel. Swift has only one game during which Kenneth No Gainwell has played, where he has topped 100 total yards. His value has literally been saved three different times this season due to a single touchdown. That just really doesn't bode well. Since only three teams out of the seven to face them have scored a touchdown with a running back against Dallas this year.
I don't hate that play at all, honestly. And you would think that I would be right on board with it, with what I said about the two quarterbacks, right? But I found the guy that I want to stay away from a little higher up the board. I almost put Saquon Barkley as my stay away. I almost put Alvin Kamara as my stay away. I actually decided to take Kenneth Walker going into Baltimore as my stay away. We know Baltimore has problems with the pass, but against the run, I don't think they're so bad, and especially being at home. Walker didn't have that great of a week this past week, right?
I'm starting to get Zach Charbonnet a little bit more involved, too, in the offense. So
yeah, so he's the guy that I'm defaulting to stay away from, but I wouldn't fault anybody for staying away from the top three, even though we said that AK is our pay-up, honestly.
For a value play this week, I'm going to take a shot in the dark.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Daryl Henderson at Green Bay. 5,100 on DraftKings, 6,100 on FanDuel. Only five teams are allowing more yards on the ground than Green Bay. Plus, there's a good likelihood that Brett Rypien is going to start this game for the Rams, which means that the Rams will be forced to run the ball, which is the better way to make successful hay against Green Bay. So Daryl Henderson, Royce Freeman, some combination of the two will be very, very good. Henderson has outperformed Freeman, with the exception of Freeman scoring the touchdown this past week. Henderson's still been the better of the two backs. I like Henderson a lot.
I don't hate that at all, honestly. Now, I do have to say, this guy's not my value play, but you mentioned him earlier, and I didn't get a chance to get my dig in, so I'm going to say it now. Kenneth Gainwell, 4,500, 5,100. No, you're not playing him. Did you know that he responded to an Instagram tweet during halftime after fumbling?
I did see that, yes.
Kenny, put the phone down, man. Oh, goodness.
So here's the thing. Is that on Gainwell or is that on the coaching staff for allowing him to get access to his phone during the game?
Maybe a little bit of both, actually. Philly's got a loose locker room. They've got some veteran leadership there. I think that they trust people to do the right thing, probably.
I'm thinking back to, 30-plus years ago, and obviously we didn't have cell phones then, but when I was in high school, we weren't running to the locker phone on the wall to make phone calls during halftime.
True. Very true. So what I will say is that I did read that Nick said that they have addressed it. So I don't think it'll be a problem going forward. That's for sure. But in any event, I need to give you my value play. And I don't know that I really have a solid one. But he had a letdown this week. Didn't really get many carries. Didn't have many yards. Didn't get into the end zone. Only got two targets, but price wise, I just didn't like this slate at all, quite honestly. I wanted to like the back in Washington, Antonio Gibson, at 45 and 4,900. I think that's great value. He may be needed for a lot of outlet passes, especially if Curtis Samuel's out again, to keep Sam Howell upright in New England. But I wound up falling back to Deontay Foreman on a bad Chicago offense on the road in New Orleans. New Orleans got a tough defense, but for some reason I don't love it. So just, you know what? I'm putting a punt there. I do not have a value play at running back. How's that?
It really is ugly. I mean, you could take a chance on Kareem Hunt, again, at home versus Arizona.
Yeah.
If you feel that Chuba Hubbard's going to be the guy rather than Miles Sanders, you consider him there.
A.J. Dillon.
Again, but both those Chicago backs, I mean, Roschon's obviously more involved in the passing game than Deonta, so maybe he's the choice in that game since you don't have to run against New Orleans. But, yeah, it really is ugly this week at the running back position, even more so. I mean, quarterback, we know it's ugly because it's a lot of substitutes. These are your number one running backs on these teams, and just it's bad matchups.
Yeah. So we clearly are well behind schedule because we're over our hour. But, hey, it's our 200th episode, so we're going to party like it's 1999. All right, we've got two matches. You've got the over set at 4. We're halfway to a push. Wide receiver.
I'm going to hook up my pay-to-play wide receiver with my pay-to-play quarterback, and that is CeeDee Lamb at Philadelphia, 8,200 on DraftKings, 8,800 on FanDuel. Opposing wide receiver ones are averaging 8 catches and 91 yards with 5 touchdowns total against Philadelphia this season.
Yeah, we're not going to match, and I find it hard to fault you for that, but you already know how I'm poisoned on that matchup, right? Man, it just seems like a trap game to me because everything says, like, in bright neon lights, play CD, right? Really, that's what – can you see it? Like, you can see it if somebody did, like, a sketch
of it. High ownership, he's going to be chalk, yes.
Yeah, and I just – man, it seems like a trap game of trap games to me. I can't help it. So, that said, I'm taking a demoralized New York Giants team that has to go on the road and play a Las Vegas team, which is coming off a Monday night game. And currently it is 9-0 Lions with 6 minutes to go in the first half. I'm going to take Davante Adams as my payout play.
I really want to, but that Giants defense has been playing very good lately. Yeah.
Well, the key was demoralized and on the road. I think that's the difference.
Exactly, yes.
So, I told you, I do not like this.
This might be the week
slate
to spend down at wide receiver.
Yes, very much so. I agree.
Yeah, guys like DK Metcalf, Michael Pittman Jr.
Yep.
We already talked a little bit about the New Orleans passing game.
Chris Olave.
Houston's passing game.
Tyler Lockett. All those. Amari Cooper, if you trust P.J. Walker, if Deshaun's not starting. Yeah, I agree. So who are you staying away from?
I actually didn't have a hard time with this. I didn't really want A.J. Brown, but I wouldn't fault anyone for playing him. I wasn't totally sold on Devontae. It came down to which Rams receiver did I want least. And the one that I want least is Puka Nacua. And here's the reason why. Brett Rypien is a veteran. He is going to probably be capable of supporting a single wide receiver. As of right now, Cooper Kupp is still the top wide receiver for the Rams. They're facing Green Bay. Jair Alexander is a shell of himself right now, despite what he says in his press conferences. He is very, very bad. If Rypien's going to have any success, it's going to be with Cooper Kupp. And that means Puka Nacua is an overpriced decoy this week.
So I really thought we were going to have a match here. I wrote down two names. I did stay with one. The one I crossed out was the Rams game. I actually crossed out Cooper Kupp. Kupp was who I was going to stay away from based on the price versus Puka. I don't want any of them either, quite honestly. But I wrote A.J. Brown. Yeah. I wrote down A.J. Brown. He's the most expensive guy. You know I've got my fear. He's got the NFL record with six games straight of 125 receiving yards or more, right? Nobody in NFL history has done that. It's got to come to an end at some point. Man, I would love to see him put up 150 and three this week. I could easily see it being 3 for 45. So I'm steering clear.
Who's your value play? This one we're not going to match on, but I want to hear your value play.
So I wanted to write Drake London down, but say that guy's name that we're not supposed to say.
He's got a groin.
What's that?
Drake's got a groin right now.
Right, but also he also has Arthur Smith, so that's an anchor. that's why I wrote him down. Across
those two things are not inexclusive of each other.
No, but he's got it's a fantastic matchup. That's what jumps out at you first, right? He's facing the team giving up the fifth most points to the fantasy wide receiver position. I'm settling on a guy that, man, I'm worried about it. Honestly, I'd be much more happy if the starter was starting. Elijah Moore. That's what I'm going.
He did not look effective with PJ Walker this week.
No, and that's why I say it like squinting, and like I told you, I hate this sucks this week. But he's got a great matchup. The team he's facing is sixth in points allowed to the wide receiver position. So going to try and pay down and take advantage of that. And I'm hoping that Deshaun's back this week. But if not, you should still hopefully be able to get three times value on $3,900 on DraftKings.
Hopefully. Also, it's interesting that you brought Drake London, though. And again, he's got a groin injury. I'm guessing he probably won't play. But I do love that matchup as well against Minnesota. And there's a couple different guys who could step into that role as the number one receiver for them this week. Guys who have performed in the past. Guys like Catterall Hodge or Mac Hollins. Or one of my personal favorites, Van Jefferson, who when he was with the Rams actually did some serious damage against the Vikings.
Yeah.
Any of those three would be a great dart throw for wide receiver three. But they were not my dart throw value play wide receiver this week. Interestingly enough, you mentioned the quarterback for the guy that I'm taking as my value play wide receiver, and that's DeMario Douglas versus Washington in that New England game. Douglas has 13 targets over the last 2 weeks, and the team just locks Kendrick Bourne for the entire season. Meanwhile, Washington, they've allowed more they've allowed the third most wide receiver receiving yards and scores so far this season.
Well, they have played A.J. Brown twice.
That certainly affects their numbers, yes.
Yep. Okay. That's definitely a stab. But hey, in this kind of week, it is what it is. The fact that he's still priced over $3,900 says something. But yeah. Okay, so you would have had your value play wide receiver with my almost value play Mac Jones. Think about that.
Exactly.
Think of what that says about this slate. My God. Oh, I feel sick. I should have taken
it. Reinforces what we were just saying, though, that you can get a good, cheap quarterback, and you can get cheaper wide receivers and save that money to spend up at the running back position this week.
There you go. All right, let's finish this off with tight end. Let's finish this horrible, disgusting, scary Halloween
not so
slate
good day, right?
Off, yes. Who are you paying up for at the tight end spot with no Travis Kelce on the slate?
I was going to say, I might still pay up for Travis Kelce.
No, right.
He's not here. I'm going to pay up for a guy who's been around about as long as, about as long as we've been doing this podcast, and that's Mark Andrews. 6,800 on DraftKings, 7,500 on FanDuel. He's the highest priced guy on both sites. Andrews is averaging 16 PPR points per game this season with touchdowns in 4 of 7 games. Seattle has allowed 13 catches, 139 yards, and a touchdown to the position over their last 2 games. So despite starting the season very good against the tight end position, those first 5 games were also against a bunch of who the heck are these guys at tight end. The last 2 weeks, they've faced decent tight ends, and they've started to give up some yardage and touchdowns. Mark Andrews is better than a decent tight end. He's the best tight end on the board. And again, you'll have that money because you spent down at quarterback and wide receiver.
Okay, so can I give you my stay away first?
Sure.
My stay away is Mark Andrews. now, can I give you my pay up?
It's Mark Andrews.
It is Mark Andrews. I am a conundrum. I'm sorry. So Mark Andrews has what should be a horrible matchup on paper. They rank 27th against the tight end position, right? But you've shown, however, the past couple of weeks they're playing better. And
now look at who they faced those first 5 weeks. So yeah. It was bad.
And I'm paying up for Lamar as my quarterback, right? But do I trust him to do all of his damage with Zay Flowers? With Odell Beckham? You know what I mean? So I'll pay up for Mark Andrews, but I'm not going to fault anybody that says I don't want to pay up for Mark Andrews, so he's my stay away also.
Okay, well, my stay away is the guy right below him, and that's TJ Hawkins. And for most of the points we've already talked about with the new quarterback there, we don't know what Jaren Hall is going to be able to do. Obviously, even if they bring in a quarterback tomorrow at the trade deadline, they're not going to start this week. They've got Sean Mannion, who was an absolute albatross when he got a chance to start a couple of years ago in place of Kirk Cousins in a final game of the season. He'll probably be activated from the practice squad, but yeah, neither of those guys I trust to get the ball to TJ Hawkinson on a regular basis. So if I'm going to spend up at tight end, I'm definitely not going to spend up for Hawk.
I don't disagree with you whatsoever. I treated Hawk like an injury player this week, honestly, by default. So yeah, he's absolutely a stay away no matter what. And I don't care. Don't be coy. You do not play Hawkinson this week. Just, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Who's the value play? Let's see. I think we're going to match on the value play.
I actually had 2 guys. And so if we match either of these guys, I'll say yes. Okay. The first one is going to be filling in for a guy who is going to miss the next month or so with an injury. That's Daniel Bellinger at the Raiders. 2,500 on DraftKings, 4,300 on FanDuel. I think he's a decent play this week. But I'm going to chase some points here. And I usually don't say chase points, but I actually kind of like this guy. And that's Trey McBride at Cleveland. Real LD, it's not the best matchup.
Right.
But you really cannot argue with the fact that McBride has 25 targets over the last 3 weeks. Now, when I made this decision, it was before Arizona had announced that Joshua Dobbs was not going to be starting this week. Now, in the last couple hours here Monday night, it was announced that they're going to turn the reins over to rookie Clayton Tune for this game. So I've dropped a little bit of my interest on McBride, so I might say at this point, okay, I'm going to go ahead and fade back to Mr. Bellinger or even Juwan Johnson. at home versus Chicago.
So wait a minute. I would like you to say something for me. Can you say the team that Mr. Bellinger plays for?
The New York Football Giants.
Can you now tell me how many yards the Football Giants passed for this past weekend?
Well, I can tell you this. I had more receiving yards than the Giants wide receiver core.
Yep, so did I. Combined, we did. Wow, I mean, Darren Waller.
The Giants wide receivers this past weekend had -1 yard.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
That was with Tommy DeVito and a punctured lung Tyrod Taylor at the helm.
Tyrod, 4 of 7 for 8 yards.
It sounds like Daniel Jones has been cleared. So,
well, let's hope so.
It can't get any worse, right?
and we were deprived of a revenge game for Darren Waller.
Yes.
That's a shame. Yeah.
Darren Waller is their best receiver, and he's going to miss the next month.
Yep. Yep, yep. Okay. I just want to get that straight. No, the guy I'm actually playing has a great matchup. Great matchup. Facing a team that's given up more points to the fantasy position than any other team has. But they're on the road, and it's probably a bad play. But at $3,000 and $4,900, it's worth a gamble on a crap slate. Give me Cade Otton this week.
A fun thing about Cade Otton is I always misspell his last name.
E-N?
Yeah.
I always want to spell E-N.
I always spell it E-N, and I usually get feedback from our hosts at USA Today regularly when I make that mistake, but I don't do it on purpose. It just happens to come.
All right, I'm going to tell you my secret that I used to do when I was doing all my IDP write-ups, because try spelling Humaniora every week, right? Stuff like that. I'd go through and I would create a Word document, and I would just type in all the tough names. And you know how it squiggly lines it, like it wants to tell you it's spelled wrong?
Yes.
I can add to dictionary.
Well, you see, the only problem with that is I've managed to add over the last 10 years Garoppolo spelled 10 different ways.
Yeah. That's why radio is better, right? Jimmy G.
Exactly.
Tua, you don't have to spell his name. It's hard enough to say it. But yeah, hey, listen, we hit the under. We matched on 2, believe it or not.
Vegas lost in our 200th episode. How about that?
Hopefully everybody else wins, but it's a crap slate. So don't go betting the house on it this week, please. Goodness gracious. Harley, here's to another 200. And for our,
yes,
for our at least one listener, Steve Williams, feel free to make sure that you check Harley out at Nuclear Harley. Of course, I know you have my handle on the site formerly known as Twitter, at Steve Gallo NFL. Of course, you can check everything out at thehuddle.com. And I'm doing what Harley's doing and what we're going to ask you to do. Get blitzed responsibly. Cheers.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.